Podcast Fresh.
Now this is a story all about how Wade, Cap, and Chris just both sat down. So we'd like to take some time and chill out there. We'd like to talk a bit about the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Woo!
What is going on, everybody? We are back with the Podcast Fresh, Fresh Prince of Review Show. Show number 65. We're taping this puppy on October 17th, 2023. My name, Chris Torres. The guy on the other side, Ryan Mello.
What up?
And we are going to review the next two episodes of this show. We haven't been here in 2 months, dude. We've been slacking.
Man,
August 19 was when we recorded the last show, and here we are October 17th, almost 2 months. We cleared 2 months, actually. But we are back with the next two episodes, the show that refuses to go away because we decided to review every single episode.
Yes.
But as funny as it is, like, you know, 30 years later, whatever, you know, Will Smith still very much in the headlines as he was back then. Like, a lot of things just, some things just don't go away.
Good.
Recently, I've just been enjoying Will Smith's social media because he's kind of not paying attention to anything. And he put up another one today where he poses like he's about to talk about, you know, he's about to address something that everybody's been waiting for. And then it zooms out into this like ridiculousness of, you know, just how ridiculous everything is. And it ends up with a pretty cool visual. I mean, these are obviously heavily edited and stuff like that, but I thought it was pretty cool. It's a complete zoom out. That one, of course, following the one where he was kind of on the boat there, just taking a nap. Did you watch that one?
I did, yeah.
I think it's an interesting approach, but it's kind of like by publicly not saying anything, it's kind of like you are saying something.
Yeah, I mean, you know what that, to me, what that translates to, it just translates to, you know, you guys can keep talking, you know, your stuff, but at the end of the day, only I and, you know, my wife know what's really going on. Like,
yeah.
And that's fine. That's 100%. That you can't like knock him for that.
Right.
It's just hard when like one party's saying that and then, you know, the opposing party is like just running her mouth and just putting them in this bad spotlight. But I don't know. Apparently, I found out today there's like a petition to get her canceled or something going on right now. Like, it's actually like picking up steam. I don't know, man.
How do you cancel somebody via petition?
Via petition. Yeah, we need like 1,000 signatures.
People say you will go away. How does that even work, right?
I know, but it's like, how does it, like, for it to get that bad is just ridiculous, you know? Like,
yeah, I don't know. Man. Yeah, it's such a strange situation, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, she's got a book coming out and, you know. Dude, you know who else has a memoir coming up? Britney Spears. Did you see the news today?
Oh, no. Tell me.
That she had an abortion, apparently, when she was with Justin Timberlake.
Oh, shit.
Because Justin Timberlake didn't want to be a father at the time or something like that. But this is... Man, it's...
It's years later, man. Damn.
It's years later, and both these people have gone on and had families and stuff. But...
Wow.
It's definitely grabbed the news, I guess. She's got one of the most interesting Instagram accounts where she just dances.
With knives?
With knives and whatever else.
A lot of like video game things I follow, like pages. Yeah. Usually the RPG ones, they'll always post that video of her dancing and be like, oh, when you get to the final boss and he pulls out this.
It's like, yeah.
It's so bad. But yeah. I mean, interesting how, like, I feel like people are kind of concerned about the antics she does, you know?
Yeah. There's no, I think that's it. It's that sort of morbid curiosity, you know, like, what is she going to do next kind of thing,
right?
Yeah,
like, what is it, yeah.
But, yeah, I was just really shocked to see that. I remember I was around when these two were dating and they were, like, at the top of the, you know, the world in terms of music and things like that. I mean, you couldn't go on TV for more than 5-6 minutes and it would be on. You know, this is still at a time when, you know, MTV was still kind of putting stuff out there. There was still a lot of music coverage on TV.
Right.
And so, yeah. And then, of course, the very sort of the breakup that they had and then the songs and the disses and little things like that happened afterwards. So it's just like another chapter, for lack of a better word. But yeah, it's just, it's only interesting, right, because this is coming out so many years later, but I guess when you're writing a tell-all, you really are writing a tell-all, regardless of who's, you know, mm-hmm. who's moved on with what in their life.
Her in particular is interesting because, you know, all these years she wasn't allowed to say anything. She had no control over absolutely anything. And right. now that she does, I bet a lot of these stories that she wasn't allowed to even mention before are going to come to light. And it might be pretty mind-boggling. Like that one yeah. right there that you just said is like, oh, crap. That was like super, that was a super long time ago. What else happened in that time span, you know? It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. So the book comes out October 24.
Does it, what's it called?
The Woman in Me.
Okay, yeah. That kind of explains it.
Damn. What do you mean?
Well, I just feel like we've always seen her in a light that's been fabricated to us, right? We don't really know.
Yeah,
because she's had no control, right?
Fucking hell.
For sure.
Like when she was just blowing up and, you know, that whole craziness toward the end of the 90s there.
Yeah.
Must have been hard to be her, man. I cannot imagine. You know, plus that was like the, she was the hottest star in the hottest genre of music, which was pop music at the time.
Yeah.
Pop was, she was number one in the number one music genre at the time, you know?
Sure.
Which is pretty sweet. Probably. Doesn't always happen. Sometimes yeah. you're, you know, number one in rock music when, you know, hip hop's kicking your ass kind of thing. But no, in that year, it was all pop music, man.
Yeah.
NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, her, Christina Aguilera, all the other guys that came after.
It was the year of, you know, the boy bands and
yeah,
and the girls and yeah. No, it was huge, man. It was crazy. All you couldn't get away from it. Even hip hop had a hard time. Like I see that the early 2000s for hip hop is like a kind of like a transition phase almost. Like they're still trying to figure out. They went from like the street stuff to like, okay, now we got money. Now everything's kind of like ching ching. Like the genre of hip hop you like where it has the ching ching noises, you know?
Yeah.
Like that was such a weird time. And when I think of like that early 2000s pop stuff, that's the kind of rap I also attribute to it. Cause it right. was hand in hand at the time. It was almost popish as well. Right.
Yeah.
But, nah, it was interesting. You know, pop was huge at that time. Holy shit.
Gigantic, gigantic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was huge, and I just remember all that. Yeah, I can't imagine her life, and you know, but I think the book will it'll be interesting to see what other stories come out. But yeah, she's had a tough life for sure, you know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, man. Kevin Federline was in there at one point. Jesus.
Yeah, 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 man. So that's that news there, and you know, we'll see what else comes out of that once the book drops.
Yeah, it should be good.
Let's get into the plugs. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube under Podcast Fresh. You can go on there if you'd rather see some of the clips on YouTube, or if you just want to follow along. You can mostly go on Instagram. That's kind of where most of the information is, but you can also follow us on Facebook if you prefer. We're also on Twitter, Podcast Fresh TO. Ryan, throw up the email.
Email us at podcastfresh2020@gmail.com. We will read your questions on the cafe.
Yeah, that's right. So let's get into this, man. Season 5, episode 21. This one's called Save the Last Transfer Me. Original air date, April 17, 1995. This one, we start off pre-credits in the bank's kitchen. Carlton and Will are debating as to what'll be happening for Will's bachelor party. Carlton wants to get a hypnotist, and Will just kind of wants something simple. Just him and the boys barking like seals at naked women, complete with the sound effects and everything. Carlton says here that that's politically incorrect and that nobody wants to see naked women. Believe me, for the easy hit on Carlton there. He's still getting punked, eh?
He'll be punked till the show is over.
Yeah. But so we start up there. So we kind of know that we're doing sort of a bachelor party sort of episode involving what Carlton says is going to be a hypnotist. Have you ever been to one of these hypnotist shows where they put people under?
I went to one when I was young, like, I remember going when I was like 10, 9 years old, maybe.
Yeah.
And a lady did go on stage and she got hypnotized. She started doing the bark like a dog gimmick, but it was like, I don't know. Part of me always feels like they're in on it.
Right.
I don't know yeah. if it's real. Like, I don't know if it's true. But he did it to three different people and they all did what he said they would do. So I don't know. I don't know what my stance on it really is. I don't know if it's real. I don't know. It's interesting. What do you think?
I mean, I think there's definitely, you know, there's an art to it for sure. It's kind of like magic, right?
Yeah.
There's a real way to do this, but I don't know. There's a person that does it here in the city. Like, they do it on the street. I'm forgetting the Instagram account, but it's kind of like a, he's a street hypnotist.
Right.
And he puts people under and stuff like that. So it's pretty interesting to see. But, you know, I guess people that study this stuff will say that there's certain tricks that you can do, like how to, you know, how to choose a number like 1 through 10. You know, it's usually 7, little things like that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I've seen some of that stuff and it looks pretty legit, you know, whether it's a trickery or you know, sleight of hand or whatever, but it seems to work in some of these scenarios. But interesting idea from Carlton here.
You know what's funny?
Yeah.
I know we haven't done the show in like 2 months, but I totally forgot about this wedding. And I honestly feel like the last couple episodes haven't really been touching on any kind of wedding stuff. I don't even remember like seeing Lisa last.
Right.
I don't know. It's interesting doing the episodes like, you know, a month or two apart. Because it's starting to kind of weigh in where it's like, were we always on this wedding stuff or did we take a break? Because I know that like,
right.
I know that they're together. I know they're supposed to get married. But like,
yeah.
How long is the marriage process, how long has that been? Is this the first episode of that? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of blown out. Yeah, we go to the bank's kitchen for Phil forgets that he has a son. It's baby Nikki. Baby Nikki needs a ride to work to school to work, and Phil forgot to set this up. So he's asking everybody. He's literally asking everybody if they can take him to school, even though Will's kind of the one that, you know, they're doing the gimmick where he keeps raising his hand.
Yeah, but they won't pick him.
And they finally, he's the last one. So Phil's like, all right, you can take baby Nikki to school. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So Will gets the keys here to the car. And he's been in this position before. He used to drive Ashley, remember?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
He drove Ashley in season 1 and 2 and things like that.
He took the he had the whole band in his car, remember?
That's right. Remember that classic clip from season 1? That's a classic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He leaves the
and
girl
Will's covering
with
the his
ears. Yeah.
From here, we go to the bank's living room. It's later. Carlton's getting Nikki ready for his interview. He's kind of like grooming him a little bit.
Yeah.
And Will tells him, you need to lay off a little bit. He calls him a ventriloquist. And, you know, complete with, of course, Carlton's doing this whole spot where baby Nikki's kind of sitting on his lap, almost like a puppet.
Yeah.
Like the dummy. And Will looks at him and he goes, you know what? I was wrong. You're the dummy. Which makes sense.
Yes.
So ventriloquist dummy. We go to the school later. Will checks Nikki with one. Dude, this is fucking hilarious. So we're in the door frame here, and Will throws this big rubber ball, and it bounces off little Nikki. Nikki turns around and does like a flop onto like this pet crocodile or giraffe, whatever it was on the ground. But it was a good visual, and it actually got a pretty good pop from the crowd.
It was pretty good. You couldn't fake that. That was legit.
Yeah, that was good. I'm sure Nikki was expecting it, right? Because he fell right onto that little stuffed animal thing, but thought that was cool. Nikki and Will, they sit down. Then they meet Penny and Ruby. Penny's the kid. Ruby's the mom. And Will gets... she's kind of like this well-raised girl, you know? She speaks well. She's obviously very smart.
Yeah.
But she just rubs Will the wrong way. Will gets stuck in a plastic chair. And they do this whole thing where he stands up and the chair is still stuck to him. And he ends up pulling the chair off of him. And it ends up like smashing on a wall in the back. It's like, all right, we'll go with it. You
it
know?
Smashed into like a board with like magnetic letters on it or something.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was first try. You know, like maybe he missed that board. Was he supposed to get the board? I wonder that.
It's possible. It's also possible that maybe the chair was hooked up to invisible cables and they pulled it through.
Oh, that's true too.
But yeah. Who knows, right? Mm-hmm. So they sit down and then it turns out that Penny, that little girl, she's already on the internet. She writes poetry. Damn. And she's publishing a little magazine. So that's pretty good. Will says that Nikki just finished his first screenplay, Forrest Gumby. So, of course, this is around the same time that Forrest Gump was in movie theaters. I think we're within range, right? We're, what, 95?
Yeah.
And Forrest Gump was 94, so.
Life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
There you go. That's the reference there. And of course, Gumby, the
green thing,
the clay figure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, Gumby's had a great, like, I'm sure it's been the inspiration for like a lot of other characters like that, right?
I couldn't tell you, to be honest. Mm. I didn't. You know how I found out about Gumby?
Yeah.
There's a viral video of a dude dressing up as Gumby and comes home and a dog is looking at him and like starts playing with him because he has a chew toy of Gumby and that's like his favorite toy. So the guy dressed up as his favorite toy and the dog went nuts.
Right.
And then I was like, what's a Gumby? And then in the comments it said what Gumby was.
Wow. Yeah, right.
So it really evaded me.
Yeah. No, I got you, man. Miss Jansen then introduces herself. She says that they're just looking to see how the kids interact. And Will calls Nikki the last interaction hero to semi-groans from the crowd.
I didn't like that.
Of course, this was around the time that Arnold Schwarzenegger had done Last Action Hero, where he's literally like an action hero come off the screen kind of thing.
Right.
And that movie didn't go over too well. But anyway, that's the reference there. And then Little Nikki with a Power Rangers reference as well. So, yeah, those are the references for the time right there.
Yeah, no, it screams mid-90s.
I was probably watching Power Rangers at the time because it was the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. It was the one that originally got me onto the just loving all that, you know. And it's the only one that I really stuck with, you know. Because after that, there were like the aliens and everything else, right? The alien Rangers.
I never got into it. It's actually kind of nuts that I never got into it.
Right.
Like it's one of those franchises where it's like I kind of wish I was into it because I feel like I missed out a little bit. But other than that, I mean, whatever. It is what it is. I've tried to watch it. It's not my thing.
Yeah, no, it's all good. The teacher and Nikki leave at this point, leaving Will and Penny alone. And Will asks what she's working on, making an artificial heart valve. And the kid makes a kind of like a what would you say, like a mean face or like a surprise face?
Yeah, like a stank face kind
of. Yeah, it's kind of funny. Yeah, that was good. I like that one there.
That was good.
And that was it. That was the inclusion of the actors there that played those roles. We then go to the bank's kitchen, Phil's home, and he wants to know how it went. It went bad. Phil says that Will better hope he gets it. Will better hope that the little Nikki gets in. Head of admissions is coming to interview the entire family, including Will. Carlton says that he has, listen, I don't know about that. I have a magical evening planned with Will. Will makes a joke here about Amphib maybe drinking when she was pregnant with Carlton. I guess just the way Carlton said it, that he has you know, a magical evening plan and things like that. But yeah, no, so this goes bad. We have defeat here. It didn't go well with Nikki's. And all they want is to get this guy in. Phil says, do whatever you want, but be home by 8. And we'll show them how much of a warm, caring, lovely family we are. Or I'm going to kill you, which is always that that classic spiel there. I don't ever remember watching this episode.
I vaguely do, simply because it's one of the ones that Nikki really kind of has a role of sorts.
Yeah.
Might be the first time he has a role of sorts, to be honest, like besides just kind of appearing casually in a scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the hypnotism stuff is kind of memorable. Like when I first rewatched this recently, it's like I didn't really know what this was until the whole hypnotism thing started. I was like, oh, it's this one's ridiculous. This one gives me callbacks to I think it was season one when Hillary made a deal with Carlton and Will separately because they had dirt on each other. So right. Then at the dinner scene, like Will said, oh, every time I tap my glass you gotta bark like a dog. You remember that?
And
like she went absolutely nuts. This is kind of reminiscent of that. Later on, we'll see where Will just keeps flip-flopping in and out of like some kind of spell. It gets super ridiculous. But anyway, I don't want to go too far ahead.
Yeah, that is kind of like a callback to that old episode, isn't it?
That's what I think it is. Yeah. It gave me like good vibes from that one.
Yeah. So he gets the threat there from Carlton. Then we go to the hypnotist. And that woman on stage is told that she will feel naked when he rings the bell. He does, and she feels naked, and she runs off stage. The crowd applauds.
The crowd is very, well, easily entertained.
Yes. Will and Carlton are at a table. Will freaks out that they need to be back by 8, so he kind of wants to get the hell out of there. And then there's another next guy there, and he is told that he will be 4 years old at the next bell. And at the same time, Will goes over and hits the bell to get his coat from Coat Check, and now he's 4 years old.
At the sound of the bell, you will be 4 years old.
Will, wake up!
He spins around and he takes the bowl of mints. He does this like a stealing of the mints gimmick, which is kind of, it's all right. It's kind of goofy, right? But he ends up taking all the mints, throwing them into his mouth, and then he goes back to Coat Check. where he rings the bell one more time, taking himself out of the spell, and he spits out his candy and asks for his coat.
Can I help you?
Buy my coat. My fault.
For some reason, I thought that was the end of this, of the bell thing.
You know what? Yeah, me too. I feel like, so before I clicked in what this episode was, like I said, when he originally like rings the bell and he starts acting like a four-year-old, I'm like dreading that the rest of the episode's going to be this way.
Right.
But then when he takes himself out of it, I'm like, oh, okay, it was just like a cute little whatever, like gag, right?
Right, right.
But no, man, this carries on. This is the rest of the episode is this situation, which
yeah.
I wasn't a fan of it here, like in the beginning, but then it kind of grew on me, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is such a, they put a lot of details into this episode,
which I appreciate.
That I was kind of surprised. Yeah. We go to the bank's living room. The family's ready. Ashley's replaced all the videotapes with insect documentaries. And Hillary's reading the Victoria's Secret catalog. It's the end of the season thong blowout. Will says it's a good issue. Everything in there is half off, if you know what he's saying. So he doesn't use that as much, but he still uses it.
Yeah.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Viv comes down with Nikki. His instruction is just to sit there and not fall asleep. If only if it was that easy.
No kidding.
Imagine just being told, you know what, he's got to sit there. Just don't fall asleep. Don't fuck it up.
Also, let's just say that Aunt Viv has reappeared after like a four-episode hiatus or something.
She's back. Yep, she's back. We go to the bank's kitchen. Will's joking around about the food that Jeffrey's making because it's all kind of like this nice little neat food. And these are called crab pups. Dang. And Will says that he's seen Uncle Phil pick bigger food out of his teeth. That's kind of a gross line, but I kind of dig it.
It is pretty good.
There's a ding from the doorbell. Will has to go potty. All of a sudden, he's four again. And Will wants Carlton to take him. There's another ding. Will snaps back to it. Carlton says that he's acting weird. Must be all that rap music. Which was kind of the scapegoat at the time.
Right.
It's all that rap music. It's all that rock music.
That racket.
That Marilyn Manson stuff. Carlton figures it out finally. He sees what's going on. And he goes to tell Will. But Mr. Stiegel is already there. Anything to add here, Pac? You know we're going to go to the ridiculousness with the dings at this point.
It's about to happen. I mean, they've already kind of, they're setting us up, right? Like, okay, get acquainted with the dinging, get acquainted with Will flip-flopping characters right now.
Yeah.
This is our shtick for this one.
Yeah. Yeah, we go to the bank's living room. Stiegel's checking out the insect documentaries. He's impressed by the collection. Jeffrey offers him some food. At this point, we get another ding. Will's 4 years old again. He waves at Jeffrey, who actually waves back. Jeffrey must have been like, the fuck is wrong with this guy? Whatever, this guy's on one, right? Will does a seafood joke with Carlton. Just bottom of the barrel stuff here, seafood. But he is 4 years old, so I'll give him a pass on that one.
Right.
Did you like that seafood joke?
No.
Yeah.
It was all right. Well, I don't know, whatever.
I mean, I try to
envision it as a kid doing it, because that's what we're supposed to do.
Right.
And for a kid, I guess it's... you know, better.
Yeah, it's kind of like I'm on that seafood diet. You know, I see food, I eat food. It's like, yeah. So very same clever joke here. It's just a little older there.
Yeah.
And then now we have Phil and Stiegel. They're singing a Princeton Tiger song. So this is good. They're building a little friendship here.
Crash through the line of blue and send the max all around the end. Fight for every yard. Princeton's honor to defend. Rock, rock, rock.
Come on, Will. Let's go in the kitchen.
I don't want to. No.
I'll give you a snickerdoodle.
Okay.
We go to the bank's kitchen where Carlton gets Will in the kitchen and he looks for a bell. He's looking everywhere for a bell. And he's like, Will, you stay put. And he's like, okay. At this point, Carlton and Will get into it in the kitchen. So they almost kind of like start. Carlton starts kind of pulling him across the floor and he puts Will in a timeout. Phil comes in. He's wondering what the hell's going on with these two and whatever they're up to. He's going to get on. He's on to them. And Carlton's like, no, it's hypnotism. And Phil says, I'm going to ring your head like a bell if you don't get in there. So this is not going well.
What the hell is going on in here?
He
can't talk to your dad. He's in time out.
I don't care what kind of shenanigans you two are trying to pull
here. We're not pulling anything, Dad. Will's been hypnotized. He'll snap out of it if I find a bell, but I can't find one to ring.
Well, I'll ring your head like a bell if you don't get in there.
So far, this is not bad. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous that you need to find a bell to unhypnotize Will, but it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, you know what I find interesting is the fact that obviously this has to happen when there's a guest in the house. Like, of course, right. It makes it even worse.
Yeah.
But I will say it does get interesting once Carlton finds out.
Right.
Because to me, it's like, I didn't think anyone would find out until like at the very, very end. But the fact that Carlton is quick to be like, oh my God, like it's the bell. I didn't expect that. That was actually kind of a swerve. Cause I was like, no one would ever guess that, you know,
yeah.
But Carlton somehow figures it out. And it's not unbelievable because he was at that show also.
Yeah. 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 So there's a little bit of believability.
So he kind of knows like, okay, that we were there, maybe something. So I like that, to be honest. I actually thought it was actually made it more interesting that way.
Plus, he's the hypnotist fan, the aficionado, right? So he's kind of the one to do it.
Yeah.
To have that knowledge, right?
Exactly. Yeah. If anyone's going to figure it out, it would be him.
So. Yeah. We go to the bank's living room. Will comes in and he asks if anyone wants to hear a joke. What's the most musical part of your body? Dude, there were groans in the crowd.
Yeah.
There were groans.
This was horrible.
He goes, your nose, because you can pick it and blow it. I think the crowd was expecting worse than that. Hillary's like, I don't get it. Will offers to shine Stiegel's head for a nickel.
Jeez.
Carlton's freaking out that there's no bells. And Stiegel says he stops the whole thing, goes, obviously, you're in some sort of a family crisis here. And he leaves. Nikki's not getting in. And Carlton finds a bell on a bike and rings it. And Will asks, what the hell were in those crab pups? So he's kind of pulled out of it. Anything to add there, Pack?
No, I mean, this is all kind of, we're waiting for this to head to some kind of, you know.
Yeah, Stiegel's out and says that, he's not going to get in there. Later, we come back to the bank's living room. Will, Carlton, and Phil, are back from the hypnotist. Everything's back to normal. Viv announces that Nikki's in, mostly for being himself. And Will and Nikki do the Jazzy Jeff handshake, which gets a pop from the crowd. That was interesting.
That was, yeah.
They're giving Nikki the push here, the rub.
Amen.
And Nikki says that... that's what Will told him to do. So, and then Will asks if there's a monetary prize or even a handshake. Phil says, don't push it.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil says, well, Will's like, you got to cut me a break. I got hypnotized. And Phil's like, yeah, I guess I will give it to you. I guess weak-willed individuals like you are just susceptible to that kind of mental manipulation.
Yeah.
At this point, the doorbell rings and Phil starts barking and howling like a dog. And Will says, hey, I'll walk him, but somebody else is going to have to poop and scoop him. What a cheeseball, goofball kind of way to end it, but it was kind of par for the course. The episode was all wacky, so this kind of made sense.
It's kind of like its own universe. Like,
yeah.
I'll give it a pass because like, we're supposed to act like kids in this one, supposedly.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't expect that ending, I'll be honest, but it is what it is. I don't think it's... in any other episode, I would just trash this, but given the whole setup, it's whatever. It's passable.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a fine ending.
Yeah.
But somebody's going to have to poop and scoop him.
I wonder who that would be. It's not
a fucking visual.
It's not Hillary.
Right. That's funny. We go to the final thoughts. The little girl in Nikki's class is named Penny Gillette, a reference to magician Penn Gillette of Penn and Teller, the famous, like, they were a combination of magicians. They were kind of like mystics. They wrote books. They did a bunch of different shit.
Damn.
So anytime you hear like the phrase like Penn and Teller, they're talking about those two guys.
Okay.
So that was just a nod to them. The great Mentos. That's the hypnotist. He was played by Max Maven. Maven was born on December 21, 1950 in Attica, New York, USA. He was an actor, writer known for Mork and Mindy. He was in one episode of Mork and Mindy. Mork and Mindy was a show from the 80s, 70s, 70s, 78.
78, yeah.
With Robin Williams in it.
Oh, shit.
In a starring role. I've never seen it, but that's that reference there. Mork and Mindy, you do hear that name. But yeah, it's I had no idea, but there you go. And he's also in Max Maven's Mind Games and Something Strange with Max Maven. He died on November 1, 2022 in Hollywood, California. So that's another guy that did a lot of...
Well, that's recent.
Yeah, yeah. He did a lot of stuff, you know, kind of playing the real character. But yeah, Max Maven.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rudy Gillette, played by the great and powerful Nancy Cartwright. So she's the voice of Bart Simpson.
That's right, yeah.
So meanwhile, so it says here, this is from IMDb. Meanwhile, an animator named Matt Groening was working on a series of shorts slated to run as interstitials for the Tracy Ullman show. His concept involved a dysfunctional family with three kids. Initially, Nancy planned to audition for the role of the classic middle child, Lisa, but felt unmoved by Groening's character description. She was drawn to the troublemaker's son, Bart, and asked to audition for that role instead. The rest is history, and she was cast on the spot. Cartwright is also the unique voice behind several other Simpsons characters, including Ralph Wiggum, Nelson Muntz, Todd Flanders, Kearney, Database, and Maggie. That's right, Maggie, right?
Damn, she does the sucking noises? That's awesome.
In keeping with her history of playing popular characters on such animated series as Snorks, Animaniacs, and Pinky and the Brain, Nancy also became a hit with the millennials as the voice of Chucky and Rugrats and Rufus, the naked mole rat in Kim Possible. And then just a little piece of trivia. I like this little piece here. For her birthday, a 1992 episode of The Simpsons featured the opening of Bart writing as punishment on the chalkboard, "I am not a 35-year-old woman." That's cool.
That's really awesome.
I didn't know that. The voice of Bart Simpson there. But you know what? It's such a small little role in the overall scheme of the episode. But it's a cool trivia note just as much.
Damn right. You wouldn't think anything of it. That's why. It's very...
That's a heavyweight.
Yeah, for sure. At least she would become a huge heavyweight nowadays, right?
Yeah, the voice of Bart. I love that.
Your attention, please. Your attention, please. I have an announcement to make. I'm bored.
Ha ha! You think you're bored? What about all those poor suckers out there in the audience?
Ah, yeah. They just keep praying that their category is next. Well, as long as they are praying and while we're at it, I get to anoint their feet.
You keep your hands off me, you little twink, or I'll call the cops.
My daddy's a cop. His breath smells like cat food.
And that, my friends, is how I make a living.
And so, and then the funny line. I like the... I like when Phil's prepping Will.
Right.
And we will show those people how much of a warm, caring, loving family we are, or I'm going to kill you. And then Stiegel, I liked it when he said, obviously, you guys, you're in some sort of family crisis here. I thought that was kind of fun.
Oh, when Will's like just acting like a
creepy. Yeah. Yeah. And what else do I got here? And the third, that next one there should be in your episode.
That's from me. Yeah, it's not from you.
But yeah, that's it, man. Ryan, what did you think of this episode? Give us a rating out of 10. What did you like? What didn't you like?
I originally thought I wasn't going to like this whole episode, but then I kind of just adapted to its rules, I guess. I don't really know how to explain it.
Right.
I just kind of let a lot of things pass and like believe what they wanted me to believe. And so after all that, I thought it was still kind of funny, but not because of Will's antics as a 4-year-old. I thought it was just good writing and
right.
You know, the situation was funny overall. I don't know, stellar acting. I didn't like the ending. I think... No matter what, like, Phil did get hypnotized, but still, it's kind of like, it's such a cheap way to end it that it's like, you could have just, like, Phil didn't have to be the ender. It could have gone back to Will and Carlton, because we never really got a conclusion as to what Will thought of hypnotism, because he was hypnotized because he thought the whole thing was BS.
Yeah.
So it's like, I would have an ending that addressed that, but instead they kind of went for the cheap pop, but whatever. It is what it is.
Well, I think when they came back from the hypnotist, it's kind of implied that they all kind of learned their lesson kind of thing.
Like, don't mess with it. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it could be that.
I think they were all just happy to be back to normal, except Phil wasn't.
Right. he got
Phil
hypnotized.
Phil got hypnotized. It was funny, but there you go.
Yeah, so I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
Wow, and a 7.
I'll play it safe.
There you go. I'm going to give the episode a 6, actually. I thought it was... I don't know. I thought the hypnotist stuff could have been a little bit better. I don't know. I don't know what I was expecting, but It played more as a background to everything else, right?
Yeah.
The hypnotist part I'm talking about with Max Maven, Mr. Mentos. But I did like some of the physical comedy. And, you know, the concept is pretty interesting, but, like, we've done it before, right? We've done the gimmick before where there's a little bell and, you know, chaos is happening, especially when at the worst time kind of thing. And, yeah, it's another one of those episodes where there's, like, somebody coming over the house and everybody's supposed to be, like, on their best behavior and stuff like that. So some recycled tropes. Not a bad episode, but it's not one that I would think I would go back to time and again. So 6 out of 10 for me.
Reminds me a lot of, like, some kind of Halloween episode or something. Like,
right.
It would have fallen better in line with a Halloween theme.
Yeah.
You know, but whatever.
Yeah.
Just a random day in April. Let's do it.
Yeah. All right, folks. We will be right back with Ryan's episode right after this.
Booyaka. Let us go on with the show. This is episode number 22, To Thine Own Self Be Blue and Gold. Another one of these old-ass titles.
Right.
God damn. April 24th, 1995.
Day my birthday.
Right. Oh, it is. Hey, happy birthday. How come you get a fucking
episode?
I'm 12
years old.
Damn,
I'm 12.
Crazy. Wow. See, you got an episode. I didn't. That's
yeah. So I turned 12, and you're about to be born in a few more months.
No, man, I'm born already. I'm almost a month old.
Oh, yeah, for some reason I always...
March 27th.
Since you're married to my sister, for some reason I always look at you as the August baby. I don't know August. Why. Yeah, yeah.
No, man. I ain't no Leo. You know
dang.
I mean?
That's okay.
All right. We start at the Banks kitchen. Jeffrey says Carlton's trying to get a date with his computer, it popped me because that's kind of probably how people thought of the technology like that back in the day.
I mean, that's our dating apps on our phones, right?
Yeah, man.
That whole game.
Of course, he was for context, he was like talking to someone on the internet, meeting, you know, chat rooms or whatever.
I think if you had internet in 1995, you were ahead of the curve, my friend.
Oh, you were doing good in life.
You had something going, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Will makes a joke about the toaster turning him down. It's fucking horrible. Carlton explains, and then he shows his handle. Loser boy, Will says. Then Carlton says, it's supposed to be lover boy. Then Will says, well, it should be Hershey Kiss because you're rich, little, chocolate, and your head ends in the shape of a stupid little point, and he starts getting and he makes the hand motions. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, another let's make fun of Carlton moment, and we head to the intro.
The Hershey Kiss is a little, it's stupid, but it passes because it's just part of the pre-credits.
You know, at first I thought the Hershey Kiss was a good name, but then when he explained it, I was like, okay, it's a dick.
Right.
Yeah. All right. After that, we're in the Banks living room. Hillary's excited about an ad that Will put out on the internet. She reads it to Jeffrey. Hershey's Kiss would like to get together with Brown Sugar for Nestle's Quickie. So Brown Sugar is Hillary's handle.
So you see where this is going right from the beginning.
We already see where
this is. The cool thing is we know where it's going, and now we get to watch like the character sort of figuring out where it's going.
That's true. That's a cool outlook for sure. Jeffrey starts laughing like an insane person here. Says this story about how he got caught with a tennis tutor by Hillary, who then told Phil. He then says, remember when I said I'd get you back? We're even. Just
yeah,
so
this
good.
Is,
I love
this
that.
Is one of those times where Jeffrey's cashing it in. So this is good. So disaster's
it's,
coming.
Sweet revenge moment. Chris, you were 12 here, so you probably didn't have interest in like meeting women on the internet, but did you have internet at this point in 95?
I don't think I got internet till maybe about 96, maybe another year.
Oh, okay.
I had dial-up, 56k.
What'd you do with that internet, do you remember, at that time?
You could reach many websites. It was just really slow.
Yeah,
and everybody had like those homemade websites, like the Angel Fire ones and things like that. I had a few of those too. But you know, you'd there wasn't much. Like, everything was just so slow, even for the time. It was like, okay, you know, you click this and it's got to load, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I spent a lot of time just chatting. As weird as that sounds.
Oh wow! Eh?
Just chatting, yeah. I just love talking to just random people. You know, this is, you know, I never met any weirdos or anything like that, but it was always like, it was such a strange thing. Like, you'd have these chat rooms, you'd go into like Yahoo chat and you just choose a room which has a topic that you're interested in and everybody's just talking about it.
Damn it.
There'd be the odd weasel that, you know, starts swearing and things like that, but for the most part, it was pretty, I don't want to use the word safe, but it was like
kind of, everyone was kind of on the same page.
Yeah, everybody's kind of in on it. It's like, all right, we're all on the internet. Let's not be dicks, right? But yeah, those were the early days of the internet. So no, I did, you know, and before that, the only people that had internet were people that had computers, obviously. But I mentioned that only because out of all my friends, only like one of us had a computer, you know. Most of us had like video game systems and stuff like that, you know, but there was the odd kid that had like the computer and that motherfucker was running like Doom in like 93, 94,
holy
right?
Shit.
So it's pretty sweet. I did have one friend that had the old PC. But yeah, no, and he had the internet. And I remember I didn't really pay attention to it. But I'm like, I like the idea of like, wow, I can send you like a message to your computer from my computer and talk to you that way. That's pretty neat.
That's crazy back then, yeah. I remember when I got my first computer, I think it was like in 99 or 2000.
Right.
Windows 95. And I... there was just this hockey game I had that I always played. I think it was like NHL like 96 or something.
Mm.
For whatever reason, I probably logged in like hundreds of hours on that thing, mostly because it was probably all I had. Right. That and the pinball game. But like, I was that was kind of like when I was kind of almost into hockey, where I was like, oh cool, this is so fun to play. But then like, you're watching it and it's like, I'd rather just play it.
Yeah.
But yeah, really random time, to be honest. There's even a picture in like one of my parents' albums where I must have revisited that game or something. I'm holding my like baby sister while playing it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah. Computers. Wow, that's a lump. That must have been what year?
That picture was probably in 2003 or 2004.
Yeah, so you're about 8 or 9.
8 or 9, yeah.
Nice.
That's funny. All right, in the kitchen, everyone's in there trying on shoes, who came from a dude named Ernest, Phil's old friend. He just set up office nearby, and after some pointless banter between Will and Phil about Phil's frat party, or fraternity, Phil tells Will that Ernest has an open position there. Will tells his current employer, Carlton, this is a gag already,
right,
that he quits. They argue about Will's qualifications, and Phil shuts them up, saying Ernest is actually coming for dinner and to be well-behaved. Another one where someone's coming for dinner and someone has to be behaved.
Yep.
You don't know what to do. Follow my lead. We then cut to Phil and Ernest. This is when he shows up. They're dancing all around the living room. They're having a good time. Will joins them, but he's like behind the conga line, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then they're doing this move where they can't see Will, but then when they turn to the left or whatever, Will's there doing it with them. And then they kind of get turned off that Will's there, but then Will just kind of takes it and runs with it. He does this whole routine. It's ridiculous. Ends with the splits.
I like the, I always like seeing Phil dance.
Oh, I love it. It's one of my favorites.
And so it's always a good time here, getting to see him dance a little bit. But yeah, always got to be, Will always got to be the one taking an extra step, right?
Yeah, okay. What a show off. So this leads them all to sitting down. Phil and Ernest reminiscing until Will eventually starts alluding to the job that Ernest has. I just want to point out, Phil said something so many times that I've never heard him say on this show, where he was just like, I love this guy.
It was kind of out of character.
I was like, Jesus, that is so like forced, because we're supposed to love this guy too. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Or see some kind of value in him, right? So I'm right. Like, damn, that's like so weird.
Yeah. Like they definitely, Ernest is this new character that they brought in out of nowhere, just kind of strapped a rocket to him to give him the big push.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to buy him as a contender. But it is a little bit too forced when Phil doesn't just throw the L word around like that.
No, man, it's like very,
you gotta earn
like,
it.
It's present, like it's so out of left field that that's all you can really focus on when they're like laughing and stuff. It's
gotta
like
earn it.
He just said he loves them. What the hell?
Yeah, yeah.
Carlton also comes in at that moment. They both start jabbing each other, Carlton and Will. while they're speaking to Ernest, because they both want this position, Will literally gets Carlton on the floor a couple times. It's horrible.
These idiots.
It's bad. They then find out it's an internship to where Carlton is no longer interested, because, of course, that means they're not getting paid.
Nope, you get the experience.
The experience. He says he's busy anyways. You ever intern for something?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
I was, no, not really. Well,
okay.
I landed a job out of college, but I didn't intern. It was like I got the position.
Okay, but I guess it could have been interned?
Yeah, I guess it's the closest ever, right?
Yeah.
I guess it's a pretty good gig once you intern, you work for free for a little bit, and then if they like you, they pay you, right? But today, 2023, that's really tough.
Ryan Mello does not work for free.
Right.
In the kitchen, he's with Jeffrey. He says, tonight is the night I get to meet Brown Sugar, my sweet soul sister. Interesting choice of words. Jeffrey says, well, you're half right.
Jeffrey's awesome because he explains Jeffrey. The joke for the dummies in the back.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's cool at it.
He is. But then I think he tries to tell Carlton. He's like, oh, there's something you should know. But then Carlton literally just dismisses him.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey's just like, you know what? Have a good date.
That's right.
At that moment, their phone goes off. Carlton answers it, and it's Will calling from his new cellular phone. He walks behind Carlton while they're on the phone together. And then Carlton starts like pretending like they're breaking up. He has plastic or whatever. And obviously, Will's seeing all this. So he looks at him, and he's like, well, this is the job of your dreams. Carlton says, what do you mean? Will throws credit cards at him, says he's got an office room, and then Carlton leaves. Will starts like breaking the fourth wall heavy. He narrates to the audience. He's looking at the camera. He's like pretty much seeing what Carlton is seeing outside. He's like, oh, he's going to, you know, go over the step. He's going to make a right on the corner where he's eventually going to see. And then there's a huge scream, and he has the company Porsche in the driveway.
Yep.
Carlton's kicking himself.
Well, they don't show the Porsche. He just kind of explains it.
No. And he does like this most maniacal laugh ever.
Yeah. So somehow he's got all this stuff, even though it's an internship.
I mean, hey, he's not getting paid, but he has stuff. So it still counts, I guess.
Yeah. Poor Carlton.
I feel like we've seen this before.
I don't know.
You know. Will goes to the office to return the car, but Ernest says, just hold on to the keys. Will says, I'm going to start calling you pops.
Yeah, it was a good pop. Imagine, you know, at that age and you just get told, yep, hold on to the car.
Hold on to the Porsche, a Porsche no less. Ernest gives him a briefcase and tells him to take it over to Councilman Braddock on the way home. Councilman Braddock has been stopping him from opening up like to further expand his business or whatever. So that was addressed earlier. So now he's telling Will to drop this off at this guy's house. Will says, oh, this suitcase, like any brother can crack it open. We know the tricks. And he does it.
I need you to take this over to Councilman Braddock. Now, I wouldn't just let anybody handle this, but see, I trust you, Will.
Oh, well, it's a good thing, too, because if I wanted to open it, man, these dinky little locks sure wouldn't stop me.
Oh, but I think they would.
Oh, nah, man, shoot. I know brothers in Philly. All they got to do. What money? What? I did not see no money. I did not see no money. I'm going to just go ahead, okay?
Oh, not so fast, Will.
And then Ernest, like, tells him to chill and to sit down. And he says, let's say it's a birthday present. Will gets up. He's trying so hard to get out of this. He doesn't want to do this. He walks to the door. And Ernest says, I'm not letting you leave until you see this bonus. And it's,
Will's great in this whole scene.
I love Will in this scene. Will acted this so well. Like, it's goofy and over the top, but it's also like, this is how this like 17-year-old would act.
Yeah.
So yeah, he gives him like an envelope, and it's basically a bribe for him to do this and to stop being a coward. So yeah, now Will's getting paid. Now he's getting some kind of money.
I'm not going to let you leave this office.
Oh, no!
Until I give you this bonus. Yeah, I just want you to know how much I value your work around here.
I do like that he doesn't do it at all eventually, because it just speaks to his character and who he truly is, which I always think is important for this show to like keep track of, because the minute Will does some bullshit, it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The twist is that, like, yeah, the uncle's kind of the friend is kind of the heel, Ernest.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Ernest is the heel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's paying people off. It's coming. At the bank's house, Hillary's excited about her date. She tells Jeffrey, this much happiness should be illegal. Jeffrey says, I'm sure it is. She walks off. Carlton comes in also excited. At this point, he's bringing a briefcase with him, and it's the exact same briefcase, so I already saw what was going to happen.
Right.
In the briefcase, he has a toilet seat cover and his secret weapon. Tony Orlando with Dawn.
Yes.
It's a record. Will comes in. He's all paranoid. He has the briefcase. Carlton asks him if we're on a first date and I kissed you, would you blush and giggle or knee me in the groin? And Will's like, I'd knee you in the groin, then blush, then giggle.
That's it.
I love that. So Carlton's obviously all nervous about his date, and Will's nervous about, you know, his money situation. Will leaves to find Phil. So Will doing the right thing. He's about to tell Phil what the hell is going on. Will sees Phil, tries to tell him what's happening. He shows the briefcase. It's Carlton's. Will asks Jeffrey, where's Carlton? He says, oh, he left. And Will's like, I've made a terrible mistake. Jeffrey says, you don't know the half of it.
Yeah. Again, Jeffrey with the foreshadowing.
Yeah. No, Jeffrey was the source of foreshadowing this whole episode.
Yeah, he's been really good too. The lines are clever, otherwise it doesn't quite work.
Yeah, exactly. At the restaurant, Carlton sees Hillary sitting alone. They realize what's happened. Carlton says, I'm dating my own sister, which everyone hears.
Really loud.
Really loud. He adds, is my favorite country western song.
Yeah, what the hell is that? He attacks the country people.
Jesus Christ. He
a
then
country
says,
western song. The fuck?
Because it's incest? That's so bad, bro.
I don't know.
Oh, man. He then says, I brought all this babe bait for nothing. He opens it, and it's just all the cash. Hillary says, well, just because we're related doesn't mean we can't have dinner. So they're about to blow all this shit, and Will walks in just in time. He grabs it off of them.
Yeah.
He leaves. He comes back and asks, y'all two dating?
What a dick.
I like it. I like all of it. It's pretty good.
It's funny.
So we're back at the bank's living room, back to, you know, trying to resolve what matters. Phil's pissed at Will already. The minute he walks in, because Ernest called him saying that Will hasn't made this delivery yet. Will tries to explain and he says he's going to quit. But before he can say anything, Phil scolds him. He says, I kind of felt for Phil. He's like, I don't have many real friends left. You quitting jeopardizes, that of which I have with Ernest. If you're going to quit, I want to know why. And Will says he'd rather not say any sorry. Really good moment. He, you know, that kind of hit Will, and he doesn't want to jeopardize his friendship either. So Phil says, sorry doesn't even begin to describe you, which I think is super harsh. Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. I disagree with you. I don't think it's a sweet moment. I think it's a moment of like Phil's pissed.
He is pissed. Yeah.
He's mad. And you're right. It plays on the heartstrings because Will doesn't want to ruin the friendship, so he stays quiet. But in staying quiet, makes himself the heel in Phil's eyes. So he's kind of in a really difficult position.
It's true. He's not doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of the devil, though, Ernest shows up in person. He says Phil to relax because he's about to go off on Will. Ernest then says it's only $20,000, and these days that's barely considered a bribe. Oh, man, just out with it. Phil says, excuse me?
Yeah, it was really out there, eh?
It was really like...
And slimy.
This guy is nothing. He's no shame, man. You know, he
it's
just
like, yeah,
said it.
You knew I was doing that. It's like, no.
Yeah.
I do now.
Motherfucker. Ernest, yeah, so Phil's like, excuse me? You know, like that
Ernest. Yeah.
Threatening excuse me. Ernest says, well, it's not like he made the drop. Will says, yeah, that's right. So stupid. Your bonus is in there, the keys to your filthy Porsche, and if my drawers weren't dirty, I'd snatch the suit off and give it to you, too.
That was a good line that got a little pop from the crowd.
Well-deserved.
That's funny.
Well-deserved. And Phil says, "Oh, what are you doing, Ernie?" And the fact that he called him Ernie is just a further, like, you know,
yeah,
hit the moment home.
Yeah.
Ernest says, that's the way things are. Name me a man who found success without bending the law. Mm. And Phil says, me. Until now.
Right.
Take this and get out of my house. He leaves. Phil's visibly hurt. Great acting by James Avery. Will says he's sorry, but Phil says it's me that should apologize to you. Will says he knows how he feels. Like when he found out the truth about Kermit the Frog, I fucking hate that he said that because it gets like you're ruining the moment, but okay. Even Phil's like, yeah, kind of. Like, it's like, Jesus. Will then tries to pull Phil out of his funk by turning on the music again like before and like when they were all dancing. And he dances again. Then Phil joins in. They both start laughing and they're actually enjoying this. And that is the end. Cute way to end the episode.
It's a nice visual. You get to see Phil dancing with Will, that really nice moment. And that's been used in like a lot of like highlight packages and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's always a good way to end the episode in what might have ended on a downer kind of ends as a good thing kind of thing. But yeah, hard to really get too invested into the Ernest character just because he kind of comes out of nowhere. You know, it's not like he'd been speaking about Ernest as a character in the background, right? Yeah. But I think for what they do in the episode, it's fine. I get it. It's got to be encapsulated in 23, 24 minutes. So I get that. And they do a pretty serviceable job here. Yeah, good ending though. I mean, that's kind of how you do it. That's kind of how you turn the episode around a little bit. Does everything get folded up neatly? A little bit too neat? Yeah, but I think you know you kind of come to expect that from some of these episodes.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like it did what it had to do. Like you knew at the end of the day, like these two were gonna maybe hit a point where they weren't gonna speak anymore, and that happened.
Right.
All right, let's get into some trivia facts and goofies. The title is based upon a quote from William Shakespeare's play Hamlet, Act 1, Scene 3. This above all, to thine own self be true. I told you, it was an old-ass title.
Yes. Wow, there you go.
There you go. James Avery, who plays Uncle Phil, and Charles Robinson, who plays Ernest, previously appeared in an episode of Night Court in 1984 together.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, Phil's been in a lot of stuff, eh?
Oh, man. Phil, if we really delve into that history, I feel like we'd pick apart a lot. Let's talk about the man who plays Ernest, Charles Robinson. Man, he was born November 9th, 1945, and he actually died July 11th, 2021, so 2 years ago. He had a cardiac arrest with multi-system organ failures due to septic shock. Damn it, man. It's a... sounds heavy, but yeah, very recent passing away. But he's been active in the movie scene since the 70s. I think in 69 he attended a very high valued school. Cool. And then after that he just kind of took on a bunch of roles in TV, a couple movies. Saint Elsewhere is one that I think is well regarded for a show in the 80s. That was before The Fresh Prince. And then after that, you know, Touched by an Angel. What else did I see here? My Wife and Kids, Barbershop Blues, Charmed. Yeah. Like, these are all very...
Grey's Anatomy for an episode.
Yeah, 30 Rock, which I've seen episodes of. Like, it's very B-level, A-level TV.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had a pretty, like, just steady career of appearing in, like, a handful of episodes for a lot of shows.
Yeah.
And sadly, he passed away in 2021. Damn pandemic. All right, let me bring back an old segment. Take me back to April 24th, 1995. Let's see what the hell was going on in April 24th, 1995. Famous birthdays. Kelly Clarkson and Barbra Streisand.
Wow, there you go.
Or April 24th. Bet you didn't know that.
No.
I bet you didn't know that. What else we got here? Let's go. All right. The music charts. The top five songs in the USA was This Is How We Do It by Montel Jordan, which I swear to God was already, like the last time I did this segment, he was also number one.
He cracked for a couple summers there, fam.
Dude, this dude was on top for a while. Number two, TLC Red Light Special. Number three, Idina Howard Freak Like Me. Number 4, Soul for Real, Candy Rain. And number 5, Real McCoy, Runaway. And for the Latin listeners, top 5 Latin songs with Selena, La Mafia, Los Dinos, or Oreos, another Selena song, and Los Tigres del Norte. I'm sorry.
Very good.
Very, very good. So yeah. Were you, music wise, you were 12. What the hell were you into at this point?
Everything that was on the radio. So, what year are we talking? 94, 95. This would have been Coolio. Not Coolio. Yeah, Montel Jordan, Coolio era. All that stuff that was on the radio. It was a cool time because a lot of the stations were mixed. So, it'd be like Chum FM, but to like a younger demo. Right, I remember there was even like a radio station on AM 640, I think it was.
Right.
AM 640, yeah. And he used to play music on there with Tarzan Dan.
Oh, damn.
You know who Tarzan Dan is?
I've heard of him, yeah.
Oh, man, just legendary and everything. Well, he does a bunch of stuff now. Like, he does photography and shit like that. But his bread and butter is always just being like in radio, on TV as a host. He was on YTV for a lot of stuff as well. Really cool. He had a countdown shows and things like that. Yeah, it was always fun. Plus, he had like a crazy personality, right?
Right.
So that was kind of like his thing. He was cool. But yeah, no. He's and I think he's doing something in radio now in Toronto. I heard some news. I have to check that out. Yeah, because if he's on the radio, it'd be cool to check out his show. But yeah, that's all I got to say about that. What were we talking about?
Nice. Okay, well, the movies around this time that were popping.
Yeah.
Carrington, Jane Eyre, Street Law. And then probably the most famous two of the time was Village of the Damned, which was directed by John Carpenter. Starred Christopher Reeve and Kirstie Alley.
Right.
And then one of my favorite movies of all time, Friday, came out around this time.
Right.
Directed by F. Gary Gray with Ice Cube.
Wow, that's also 95. Holy smokes.
Yeah, man, that's nuts, isn't it?
Of course, you would. Your birthday,
this
your
would
birthday,
totally
you
land
would be
on
like the Friday.
This would land right now.
That's funny.
Yeah, Ice Cube, Chris Tucker, Nia Long, and Tommy Tiny Lister.
It's yeah, I know this is like not popular, but I actually like Next Friday better.
No, that's not popular. That's not popular. That's popular.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like I'm one of the ones that like the first one better, but I think it's just because I prefer
fucking
Chris Tucker's
hipster
character to to Day Day, right? But
so,
but over the years, I've grown over Next Friday. Next Friday is actually pretty good.
What's up, man?
Sorry. Get your ass up.
Oh, they was clowning you at work today, man.
So what?
I saw the tape. We kept rewinding it. Kind of looked like your hair, but you can't really tell from the back.
How you at?
Oh, it's cool.
Damn!
But what happened with... You told me one time it was that he wanted more money or something like that for Next Friday. And part of the deal was like... At least for the first Friday, it was kind of like none of us are doing it for like a shit ton of money. It's almost like everybody's helping each other out kind of thing, right?
Well, they all got paid like $5,000.
Right.
In that first one, right? And then... Which is nothing.
Right.
And then in that second
one, you're right.
Like everyone got upped, but I guess I think he actually got an opportunity to go to do the Rush Hour movies, right?
Yeah.
So he kind of dipped at that point.
I feel like those Rush Hour movies are like long shoots too.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, nowadays like Cube's been trying to do last Friday, whatever he was going to call it, for a while, but you know, a lot of cast members have passed away since then. This is him saying it, and Chris Tucker doesn't want to be portrayed on screen as like a pothead anymore. You know, just a bunch of reasons, and Universal in general won't let him do it. They own the rights to that series. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which Friday is your favorite then? Original Friday.
Yeah. Original Friday is usually the one I'll go to.
Yeah.
It kind of is the way it released. Next Friday is the next, and then Friday after next, I think is... It's okay. I think it's a little too goofy, but there is some good moments.
Right.
Like when that guy that's dressed up as Santa, he's like robbing the neighborhood. Then Ice Cube wakes up and he goes to his kitchen and then Santa's in there making a sandwich. What you doing in my house? Eating a sandwich and shit. So good.
That's funny.
Yeah, I love Friday.
Those movies are good.
Yeah. So yeah, that's that for the Trivia Facts and Goofs. Give me your zinger.
The zinger for this one, what did I put here? Oh, I just liked Will when the briefcase pops open in front of him and he just starts going, "What money? I see no money. I did not see any money. I did not see a dime. Nothing. Nada, nada, nada." He just starts going fucking insane. goes to commercial, comes back, he's still going. It's pretty funny. So I thought that he was good there. But my favorite was just Jeffrey being Jeffrey. When Carlton says, Jeffrey, tonight's the night I meet Brown Sugar, my sweet soul sister. And Jeffrey says to him, well, you're half right. Master Carlton, there's something you should know before you go out on your date. And Carlton's such a dick here. He goes, oh, please, you're giving me advice on a date? The last time you had a date, Dad had a Jerry curl. What could you possibly have to tell me? And Jeffrey just smiles at him and says, have a lovely time. Because if you think about it, had Jeffrey just told him right there, this episode would have been 4 minutes.
Right. Yeah, a lot of the side quest would have been ended right there.
That's it.
That's funny.
It's like cell phones in the era of like Home Alone. The movie would have been 9 minutes, right?
Yeah. Oh, Mom, you forgot me. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Sending an Uber. You know. Yeah.
That's funny. We talked about that before, not too long ago.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, man. Give me your rating. What'd you think of the episode?
You know what? I actually enjoyed this episode. It gave me some of that. I love it when Will does sort of like that son, fatherly kind of figure with like another person other than Phil.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it's somebody that we've seen where Phil doesn't trust the person. Like, Will, this is going to end badly, blah, blah, blah. But in this case, they flip it because it's somebody that Phil sponsors. Like, this is my best friend that I love, right? They really drill that into us.
Yeah.
So I like that dynamic a little bit. I just enjoyed the character. I like Ernest as a character, and I thought Will was really, sometimes it can be just looking back, it's a little cringe when he does certain things, but I thought the work he did with the briefcase popping open and just him acting all crazy, it really worked.
Yeah,
and I thought it was really good. Whereas in my episode, when he's kind of going crazy with the bell and everything like that, sometimes it feels a little bit forced to me, but mm-hmm. here it comes a little bit more naturally. I'm going to give this one 8 out of 10. I enjoyed this one.
Nice. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think that this one was very true to... It almost felt like it belonged in like season 1 or 2. It had that same kind of energy where it's like Will's trying to do the right thing, but he's also trying to like, you know, do something for himself. And he's always stuck in this conundrum of like, you know, what do I do? And he'll never cross that line of like hurting someone else, which is why he tries to spare Phil's feelings at the end of it. But, you know, that doesn't go according to plan. And those are some of my favorite. That's usually like my favorite Will Smith, is just him balancing that. Like, and I think that this one in particular did a good job of portraying like, okay, there's a new guy in town. We don't know anything about this guy except from what Phil is telling us. And what Phil is telling us is that he's a good guy and that he loves this guy and whatever. But then we see this side of him that's like, sometimes we shouldn't trust what these shows tell us.
Right, right.
So it's interesting like that. I really enjoyed this one, actually. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'll give it a 9. It was good.
You crackin'.
I'm a crack.
You're crackin'. Yeah, there's a little charm to this episode.
There is. There's something there that I can't really put my finger on, but it's there. It has like a magic.
Like it had just enough stuff. Like my episode, they pack so much in there that I'm like, no. You know? Whereas here, it kind of worked, even if some of it was a little silly.
Yours felt like a season 3-4. It was like, okay, let's experiment a little too much.
Right.
God damn it.
But that was that episode. Pac-Man, mm-hmm. Let's get on out of here.
Let's dip.
By the time you guys catch this show, the new cafe will be up if you haven't checked that one out. Cafe number 80. We had a mailbag segment. We also talked about a bunch of random stuff on the side. We talked the Metal Gear games. We talked Jada Pinkett. We talked about physical media versus digital, how that's changing.
Lots of that.
Yeah. And just some stuff like
also,
that.
I touch on Spider-Man drop. Yeah, I touch. Speaking of which, I touch on the Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse movie. I finally watched it. I thought it was great.
There you go.
You know, we talk about Best Buy about to stop selling stuff. That's making news right now. And I think the biggest, maybe the main event of that episode was like the new PS5 consoles. I think we really delved into that and how we feel. So, it was fun.
4 plates. So that's going to do it from us. If you like what you hear, keep it locked on here. We do have the cafe where we discuss a myriad of topics. We have this one here where we're currently reviewing The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And as well, we have the Last Wrestling Podcast and the Gaming Asylum. where Ryan's doing some special episodes called the Gaming Asylum Radio, Ryan.
You
can catch some episodes on that. Pretty cool stuff. That's it for me. I'll plug the Instagram, YouTube. We are at Podcast Fresh, Facebook as well. On Twitter, we're at Podcast Fresh TO. And I am at Instagram at Torres Unlimited. Ryan, go ahead, man. Plug anything you want in this section here.
Yeah, as Chris said, the Gaming Asylum Radio is now up and running. We've covered Donkey Kong Country and Super Mario 64. Those are fun. What else do I got? I got two new songs in the span of like a month, I guess. So those are out now. Follow my Instagram at @official_acapello for more info, I guess. And, you know, stay tuned for a first impressions podcast, I guess, of Spider-Man 2. I'm going to be playing that day one.
Oh, you made it up in your mind?
Yeah, well, I always had it. I told you, I traded in a bunch of games. And
I know. I didn't know if you were going to get to it on day one.
I think I am. My plan is like work like a horse this week and then Friday pick up the game and then shut my mind off for 3 days.
That's that. Good.
That's what I'll be doing.
Good stuff.
Very good stuff.
And yeah, Ryan's at Instagram at @official_acapella.
Yeah, I already said
there
it.
There we go. next week, we're going to be reviewing two more episodes as we come to a close on the season. I'm going to cover Cold Feet, Hot Body. That's the one where Will meets a new student at the university who seems determined to be Will's girlfriend, despite the fact that he is engaged.
Oh boy.
And Ryan's going to cover Love in an Elevator. The guys are throwing a bachelor party for Will. On the way, Will, Carlton, and Jazz got stuck in an elevator. They recall past events for each of them, shown in flashbacks. Oh, a flashback episode.
My work is
those are fun.
Those are easy to review, actually.
Those are fun. Yeah.
And that's going to be our second last episode of the season, because after that, we got one episode left.
That's it. One episode left after that. And then the freshies for this season, then we're done. And then on to the final season.
Yes.
We're almost there. To the bitter end.
It's been a bumpy road.
Oh, man. What an undertaking. Next time, let's just review a handful of episodes.
When you came to me like, hey, let's just review Fresh Prince, I don't know why I didn't like fight you on that. Yeah. I don't know why I agreed.
I will choke you out. Okay.
Yeah, man, that sounds fucking awesome. Let's do it.
Yeah. Next time, let's review a couple episodes. All right. Well, we'll be back on the next one. Thanks again for listening. That's it. Let's get on out of here. See you guys later.
Stay fresh.
Podcast Fresh. Yeah.